enough of an enigma to pique your curiosity, but he was enough of a guy who stuck to his guns that you knew what you met here, this person that you meet, you have an idea that even though he's hard to figure out, you know where he's going, and you could bet on following this man if that's where he's going to lead you. Yeah, so he's a little confusing. You can misunderstand this man. You think you understand who he is, but in reality, nobody really did truly know who John the Baptist was. From the top of the echelon of the Judeo society down to the people who went out to see him, they didn't quite understand. They were confused. But what I like about John the Baptist, even though he didn't get everything right in his life, and he didn't, because towards the end, Craig mentioned, John maybe thought he was maybe got on the wrong bus. He wanted to make sure, and I don't know if this was his last communication in prison to Jesus, but he wasn't quite sure. He wanted a little assurance. But even with all that, Christ saved his best words, his finest testimony for John the Baptist in that moment of his doubt. So I think that's not a mistake. I think God is giving us a glimpse of, well, what are we like? Are we strong in our convictions like John was? Do we know the role that we play in this kingdom of God? And is it okay for us to have doubt too? I think the answer to all those is yes, 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 yes. We can. So he's an example, and I think he's one that we can easily glom onto and appreciate. So if you would not mind, I got to pray for my own self because I get, believe it or not, I get nervous when I come up here. Father God, this is your word. John, this man was your man at a very critical time. I thank you for his faithfulness, his ministry, and for the example you are letting us gain from his life. Thank you for seeing him through, and in his moment of fear and doubt, you saw him through. You knew where his heart was, and that's what you saw. Thank you for this man from whom we will have much to learn this morning. And we pray that we could glorify Jesus in our lives just as much as he did in his life. And through it, we thank you in his name. So I did mention perhaps that confusion, misunderstanding, it was rampant in the time of John the Baptist. When Christ made his appearance on the earth, that first century, the province of Judea, that part of the Roman Empire was very, you could feel the tension in the air. The Roman Empire was smart enough, the leaders there were smart enough to know, we are not really going to go into Judea and rule that ourselves. We're going to get lackeys. And this way Herod, I think Gilbert talked about the Herodian family. They're kind of local boys, not really Jews, kind of mixed blood people, but they knew enough of the local scene to where the Romans were smart enough too to see them and say, you run this place, collect the taxes, treat them any way you want, but we're going to have a very small army. You know, there were only 3,000 people that I know in the Roman army. That's what this history tells us. 3,000 for the whole province of Judea during this time, which is not much, really not much. So the Romans knew to stay away, let the Jews kind of do things their way. They did not cause them to do what the rest of Roman provinces had to do as far as Caesar worship. They left the Jews alone because they knew these people are crazy. They're going to revolt at anything, so don't push. Let's not push them. Let's be happy with collecting our taxes, collecting the food, the grain, whatever else we want from them, but leave them alone as far as their worship goes. Okay. So the tension, the political tension, the Jews wanted freedom, they wanted deliverance, they were waiting for their Messiah, and there was electricity, there was a group called the Essenes. I don't know if you know about the Essenes. They were hanging out there in the Judean wilderness, in the caves, and they wanted to be away from people. They didn't believe in being involved in the temple worship. They believed that was crooked, and corrupt. They didn't want anything to do with it. They made their own clothes out of linen, not wool. They raised their own crops. They didn't want to eat what the rest of the Jews ate. Does this sound a little familiar to you? I'm not saying that John was in a scene, but we're going to see that he, there was a, maybe a little bleed over, an influence of one to the other. But what I want to say here is just that there was a lot of tension in the air, and the time was ripe, as the Bible says. When this time was absolutely right, God sent his son to be born of a woman. And in order for Jesus to make his appearance to the earth, he brought John the Baptist. So I'm going to be looking at a lot out of Matthew chapter 11 this morning. So if you want to follow me, I'll be bouncing around. I'll tell you where the scripture is that I'm reading, but there's going to be all over the place. So for right now, Matthew 11, where I'm going to go back. But first of all, the confusion about who John the Baptist was. Let's just take a look at what others thought of John the Baptist. And if you want to go to Luke chapter 1, we'll start a couple of thoughts there. Well, he was what I would say was a Nazarite. The Nazarites were like the special forces. They were the troopers for among the Jewish people. They were told to take a vow and not drink anything off the vine, not anything related to the vine. They were not to cut their hair. Pretty much they were not to be part of the general society. That's what John was. He was also, according to Luke, this is Luke chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, says that in utero he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's very special, because the Spirit, before Christ unleashed the Holy Spirit on his followers, Spirit was given in very small doses to very small amounts of people for very short times. But John was filled with the Holy Spirit in utero, it says in Luke 1:15. He shall never take wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. So we have an idea that this is going to be some sort of a superhero. Who is this? What is this person going to grow up to be? If he's already destined to be a Nazarite and take this vow of strict discipline and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, what else are we looking at? Many of the sons of Israel he will turn back to the Lord their God. Many, but not most. Many did, but most didn't. We'll get back to that. He will go on before the Lord in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their fathers to their children, and to make a people ready for the Lord. So he will prepare the scene for Jesus. That's what some people knew about him. His parents knew that. Maybe Mary knew about that. Maybe a few others. You know, he and Mary and Elizabeth, they were cousins. That's what it looks like. And so John and Jesus were cousins, second cousins or whatever that is. But here's the interesting thing. It says later on that in the desert he appeared, and I'll speak to that later. But apparently he really didn't know much of his cousin Jesus. He said, I did not know who this Lamb of God, who our deliverer, was going to be until it was told to me that whoever you see the Spirit come down in the form of a dove, that's the one. He said, I did not know this. So until he baptized Jesus, John the Baptist didn't even know who the Messiah was going to be. He just knew that I'm called to prepare the way. He recited that verse from Isaiah. Okay, so what did people know about him? Maybe some of this word leaked out among others. That, oh, did you hear that John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth? And did you know that he's a Nazarite? Yeah, he's a Nazarite. The kid's 8 years old and he's a Nazarite already. And he doesn't shave his hair. That's interesting there. And did you know that he was told that he's going to prepare the way, he's going to announce the Messiah? Wow. Oh, okay. Some people knew this. Not everybody. Some people did. But he didn't know too much about Jesus either. He didn't know where this was going to go. Okay. So that's kind of the preface of who he was. What maybe some people knew. Now, if you're in Matthew 11, go ahead. You can read this here. John was baptizing. And this is what Jesus said about him. Now, you know what? Some people, this is what other people thought about Jesus too, because Jesus is saying this. Some people thought he was demon-possessed. You know that? Among all the other things, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet some people thought he was demon-possessed. Let's read this. For John came neither eating nor drinking. This is Matthew 11, verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. Okay, so some people didn't think he was sent to prepare the way, and some people didn't think he was a prophet. Some people didn't think he was anybody special. Some people thought he was demon-possessed. But some people revered him as a prophet, and some people were afraid of him politically. One person in particular, Herod, as our friend Rick here said, you know, it took a lot of guts for John to go to Herod and say, Mister, you're living in sin, and you're going to go to hell if you don't get rid of that woman you have that you took as your wife. And, well, that didn't last long. And as you can see, John sent some of his people already to Jesus to ask him about this. But Herod thought he was a political threat, so he didn't want to bother with John the Baptist, because some people, it says here, although Herod wanted to kill John, he was afraid of the people because they regarded John as a prophet. Are you confused so far? I am. Wait a minute. Some people revere him as a prophet. Some people think he's demon-possessed. Some people think he's a Nazarite. John said, I'm not a prophet, but we'll get to that later. And by the way, no, John was not a Baptist. I just want to say that in case you think he was that. So let's get a little bit further confused as much as they were at that time. Now, John was a priest. He was descended on both sides of his family through the Kohath clan of the Levites, okay? The Levites were chosen to take care of the temple. Among the Levites, there were three clans. One of them was Kohath. That's who Aaron was. And everybody who was related through Aaron's line were the priest. And the eldest son of Aaron was the high priest, and his eldest son and his eldest son. So John was not directly in line to be the high priest, but his father was a priest. He was supposed to be a priest. The book of Chronicles talks about priests, their training. At the age of about 25 or so, they're supposed to show up and get trained in how to be a priest. Well, apparently, John didn't do this. He did not follow up on his Levitical priestly Kohen duties. He didn't do that. Because, you read this here. Go ahead. In John 1, verse 19, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites. Okay, so priests and Levites. This is the same very, very secret little club, very special, only open to a few people. Men descended from Aaron. They sent priests and Levites to John the Baptist, and they said, who are you? Well, John was now 30 years old, okay? He's 6 months older than Jesus. He's 30 years old. He should have been in Jerusalem for the last 5 or 6 years getting training under his father and others, fellow Levites, as to what to do as a Levite, as a priest. But apparently he went to the desert and he wanted to separate himself from temple worship. The Essenes were that way too. They said the temple worship is corrupt. It's a part of a machine that's taken over by man. And as you read the state of the priest at that time, many of this is true. John gave up his priestly duties. He went to the desert and he fashioned his own clothes. He found his own food. And this is another thing the Essenes did. But I'm not saying he wasn't Essene. I'm just saying there was some bleed over both sides. So back to John 1:19. This is John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites. Who are you? They didn't know who he was. So Herod wasn't quite sure who he was. The people didn't know quite sure who he was. The Levites and the priests who should have known who he was had no idea who he was. So now they're going to play a game of, 14 questions or whatever that is. Who are you? said, he did not refuse to confess, but he openly declared, I am not the Messiah. Okay, you're not the Messiah. He knows his role. He knows that he was sent to prepare the role for Messiah. So he knows this. Then they said, then who are you? They inquired, are you Elijah, the prophet, who's going to come before Jesus, supposedly in their apocalyptic dreams and wishes? He said, I am not Elijah. So he's not a priest, he's not a Levite, he says. I am not a prophet. So in case you're wondering, was he a prophet? Well, he says he's not Elijah anyway. Are you the prophet? In other words, the prophet, basically the one who was going to take the place of Moses and be the one who was going to lead the Jews, not the Messiah, but the prophet who was probably next to the Messiah. He answered, no, I'm not that either. Well, so he said, well then, who are you? They're confused. Are you confused too? I'm kind of confused. Who is this guy? He said, remember, this is a man who knows his role. He knows who he is and he knows his role. So, we need an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Well, we'll hear the answer soon. Okay. Anyway, I'm not going to give you the answer right now, but I'm sure you know that already. Okay, what did other people think about it? Well, he drew curiosity seekers. They came to see him out there. And again, here we are in Matthew 11, verse 7. Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? Okay, we're getting even further confused. He says, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swaying in the wind? Now, anywhere where there was water in that part of the world, the reeds would grow up, the little papyrus reeds. They're kind of weak. They sort of kind of grow like this. So they're very commonplace. It's like when you go out to Madras, you see those fields of mint. After you've seen it for 1 mile, what's there to see? Just more mint. And I apologize to any mint farmers. Thank you for your work. We need that mint. Okay, we need it. Thank you for doing that work. It's like saying, like watching paint dry, kind of like that. Did you go out there just to watch the paint dry? There's really nothing. What did you go out there for? No, he says, it assumed no, because he says, otherwise, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Well, you know, it's a little play on words. He's just having a little fun with these people, because they know what kind of clothes he wore. Wore a suit, kind of a rough thing made out of camel's hair and a leather belt, and And he says, oh, fine people like this live in castles and eat dainty foods, and they know what he ate. He ate locust and wild honey? No. So they're confused now. What did you go out there to see? So the crowds, maybe they were curious. They went out there to see a show. I don't know. Are you folks confused? Do you have an idea who John the Baptist is? Who's really sure about John the Baptist at this stage? Well, not me. Okay, what did John say about himself? Okay, let's get John's words. Okay, so now we're going back to John. That portion of John 1. Now we have John's answer to the people who came to ask him, who are you? John 1, verse 23. He says, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. He knew exactly who he was. Now, Jesus is going to give a very strong and stirring testimony about John. And he pins it down to a couple of things about John, about who he was. But this is how John saw himself. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, made straight the way for the Lord. That's who he said he was. That was a role that they thought Elijah would play. Elijah would come and announce the Messiah, but he didn't claim to be that. He said, no, it's not me. So the leaders who know a little bit about the Torah, they weren't sure what to do with this. Okay, so he's got political power. The people are going to riot if Herod does something to him. Herod wasn't quite sure who he was apart from that, but he knows he's got some political clout. The people think he's demon-possessed. Some do. Some people think he may be this. the Jewish leaders, the Levites, well, he wasn't a priest, but he was a priest, but he wasn't a priest. He never acted like a priest. Is he a prophet? No, he said he's not a prophet. So there you go. Folks, I bring you John the Baptist. Go and enjoy this. All right. Well, he knew the plan of God, and he knew where he fit into it. That's what I will say. Because later on, I'm going to talk about you and me. And if you think they live in a confusing time, how about our time? This morning during breaking of bread, we started with a verse from Isaiah. Was it chapter 3? Was that 3? 5? Okay, thank you. About watch out, whoa, what are the times when people say good is bad and bad is good and black is white and, you know, bitter is sweet. Watch out when your whole social contract flips and what once you thought something was this, now it's this, and you don't know who you are anymore. What you once believed as something good and something to pass on as good for society is going to be considered evil. We're there, but it's been like that for a while. To live godly in an ungodly world, we're not the first ones to have done that, so I don't feel too sorry for myself or for you either. I would just say, put on your Christian pants and be men, be women, and be strong in the Lord, because this is the way it's always been for those who live godly. I think Paul told Timothy that. You want to know the Supreme Court? We're all done on the Supreme Court. Well, I'm not talking about the current one. This is like maybe 80 years ago. They decided that a tomato was a vegetable and not a fruit. So go figure that out. And they did that for political and economic reasons, for taxing fruit. So they wanted the tomato not to be taxed as fruit, to keep it cheap. So they made it a vegetable. So don't be surprised at what our politicians do, okay? As sometimes they can't figure anything out. Anyway. So, back to John. The people had mixed feelings about him. They didn't know what quite to do with him. John said, I'm the voice. But he didn't know who the Messiah was going to be. And as we find out later on, he wasn't sure that Jesus was the promised one. He needed some assurance. Because he thought he was going to announce the Messiah. You see? I'm the voice of one, prepare the way for the Lord. He thought he was doing that. And by doing so, the Lord would follow and get rid of the Romans and restore glory to Israel. And it wasn't happening. Instead, I'm John. I'm in prison. Things aren't looking good. And the way I'm hearing things about Jesus, things aren't going too good for him either. He's meeting with the same kind of approval I was. Kind of mixed approval rating in the low 20s or 30s perhaps. So he's saying, gee whiz, did I get all this wrong? I'm not seeing my role becoming fruitful, and the result of what I thought was the one behind me, he's not doing what I thought. So he's asking, are you the one? And we'll get the answer later. Okay, now we're going to get the word from Jesus. What did Jesus think of John the Baptist? That might take care of it. And what does Jesus think about us in our confusing time? Let's read it. Okay, here we go. Matthew 11, verse 1. Here we go. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Oh, man, that's hard. Can you believe what it took for John to say that? That's real. I just feel in my heart, I feel sorry, I feel bad that John has come to this point. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? This is an honest question from a man who is very, very troubled in prison. And if I don't think I could have done any better. I might have said this before. When I was younger, I thought I would have not denied Jesus there. And boy, I think as I got older, I realized, who am I? So John asked the question, are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else? See, John, the doubt wasn't so much, well, the doubt was he had bad timing. He didn't understand who the Messiah was and what he was going to do. He was going to die for your sins, John. He wasn't going to get rid of the Romans. He was going to get rid of your own sin. He was going to give you a way out of your sin, not make life easy and make the lion lie down with the lamb and make you sit down under your tree and just eat grapes in Israel. And the Gentiles are going to just work for you and you're going to rule the world. No, the Messiah, he didn't know that. He thought Messiah was somebody else. But anyway, here we go. What did you go out to see? Okay. Truly I tell you, this is verse 11. Matthew 11, verse 11. Truly I tell you, those born among women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Okay, he did not say John was a prophet. But he did say among those in the kingdom, before the kingdom arose, that John was the greatest human being ever born. Isn't that amazing? So you are looking, John the Baptist, the greatest human ever born before the coming of the kingdom of God, which kind of the overlapping between the old covenant and the new covenant, the kingdom of God that Jesus was announcing. Up until this point, he was the greatest human ever born. But then Jesus says this. Well, Jesus says, but the least who was born in the kingdom is greatest than John. So I don't want to focus on that because I'm not quite sure that we deserve that kind of accolade. But I'm sure Jesus was not comparing us to John's faith, his strength, his testimony, his willingness to undergo the discipline and the heartache that he went through. But he said, John was the greatest human ever born before the issuing of the kingdom of God, of heaven. And perhaps John didn't know the forgiveness that came through the cross. Perhaps he didn't know these things. Peter wrote to some people about their faith, about their salvation. He said, concerning the salvation, the prophets who searched intently and with the greatest of care, trying to find out the times and the circumstances that the Spirit was causing them to understand, it was revealed to them that they were serving you and not themselves. So there is a difference that the Scriptures somehow say that what we are experiencing now is greater than anything the Old Testament saints knew. They believed, and it was credited to them for righteousness, but they never saw Messiah on the cross as we do. So there is a certain blessing, folks, that you New Testament saints have that the Old Testament saints didn't enjoy. So, despite not 100% knowing accurately the Scriptures, John, he did faithfully fulfill his role. And I think about that. It didn't take 100% assurance for him to fulfill his role. Just like you or I are never going to have 100% understanding of our Scriptures. We're going to have misunderstandings. We're going to have differences of opinions. We're going to have different convictions of what things speak to us and how we should react in our world. But do you know your role? That's the question. Do you know your basic role in the church? I mean, it's easy to get confused. I understand that. It was easy for John to get confused. It was easy for the people to get misunderstood. And I don't think that's a hard thing to say to us today. Is that a fair question to ask you, to ask me? Do you understand your role? I mean, and I think it's yes. I think we do understand our role, isn't it? Because if John, with the confusing situation he lived in, and with the best circumstances, I mean, there's Jesus right there. You can get your questions answered. Everything is probably in tip-top shape that we're not going to be in. We're not going to be able to have that kind of assurance and clarity about who we are. If he was able to be a little confused and yet fulfill his role and finish his job and do it faithfully, then I think enough is there in the Scriptures for us to know our role. And I think it's this. If you would allow me to do this, what did What did John do? He was called to something, right? He was called to play that role from birth. It says in the scriptures, you were called. You were called. And Jesus calls you still today. John just didn't do this out of a vacuum. He was in the desert for a long time, waiting until the word came to him, and then it was time to baptize. So he was undergoing the word of God to himself, ministering to his own soul. So you were called to Christ. You had your own calling. And I love testimonies, and I enjoy hearing your testimonies. And you have your own story about how God called you. And what did he call you to? He called you to his son. And Jesus said, come to me, right? Follow me, learn from me, abide in me. I can't speak directly to the details of your life, but I think each one of us has our role to play as far as come to Christ, he says. Learn from me, follow me, abide in me. This is our calling as individuals. Where it leads you is everybody's different, right? All the apostles, they died different ways, some young, some old, whatever, some in between. So I can't tell you individually what yours are. But I do know that we do have that responsibility to come to Christ daily, regularly. Learn from him daily and regularly. Follow him daily and regularly, and abide in him. What a great calling! It's a calling towards maturity and joy and obedience. But it's your own call that I believe that God will make clear to you and what you need to focus on specifically in your own life. The details are just as different as. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, I wrote it down. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Okay, he said, warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everybody. Okay? He didn't say warn the timid. He didn't say be patient with the idle. he said special things for special circumstances. God will teach you those things. As you come to Christ, this is my encouragement today. Your role, my role, generally speaking, to fulfill your part in the kingdom, whichever it is to come to Christ daily, to follow him daily, to learn from him daily, and to abide in him. And what more joyful life is there, really? I mean, that sounds like a beautiful life. That's like a very joyful life and something we should be thankful for, that he would call us to such a beautiful thing. And that's all I'm going to say. And John the Baptist, what a man. And when you see him, thank him. Father God, we are in the presence of many witnesses as we here are on earth. We don't know what that looks like, but I'm sure one is John. And I would pray that he is enjoying, he is known and knowing as he was known by you here on earth. What a reward that man must have. What a delight it is to have your word here today to learn from such a man, such a one who knew his role and fulfilled it faithfully. Father God, you gave us your son Jesus, who fulfilled his role, did it faithfully, so we, enemies, people who scorned him, could be his friends, could be taken from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. People who could then learn to enjoy the company of the Holy One of Israel, to follow the Messiah and learn from him. Thank you for that. I pray that we would glom on to our ability to know him and go as deep as we possibly can in his company. I thank you for calling us to such a beautiful life we have here now, the possibilities of learning from the Messiah and following him and obeying him and giving him glory. And then just to top it off, you're going to let us do that for eternity. So we thank you in his name that you've given us such precious scriptures and a Holy Spirit who allows us to see what it's like to reflect Christ to a very, we all think this world is crazy, but use us to reach out. Make us your people. Make us your points. May we take that upon us with joy. Anyway, we look forward to continue to meet you daily, Father God, and thank you for the cross, which shouts out to us your love for a fallen mankind. Thank you for the forgiveness we have in your Son, and we pray in his name. Amen.